one to you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. It's good to be here, and I applaud you for coming out in the snow, but snow never affected any angels that I know.
Or army people.
Or Marine Corps.
What?
On the other hand, Navy knows how to ice skate, so we... And we know how to stand on our feet. Again, it's a pleasure to be here with you and to share in all angels your ministry here in the heart of Springfield and the good work that you do and staying the course. Last Sunday, I hope you had services. I don't know, but I suspect you did. The church entered the second part of what is commonly called the ecclesiastical year, called the cycle of Easter. Now you would think that because we're all dressed up in purple, you wouldn't be talking about Easter, but really, it begins the cycle of Easter. And there are three periods in the Easter cycle. It's called first the season of Septuagesima, which you did last Sunday, which starts the season. You have Lent, and then you have Passiontide. And so at the heart of the season is the resurrection of our Lord. In it, we learn that Christ is God and that he is the victory. With him is a sure thing. And as you all are aware, the first part of the Christian year is Christmas. But Christmas is dependent upon the Easter celebration. Because the theology behind this is that because if God could come down among us, and then he must also lift us up to him. Christ was taken upon himself our flesh and clothed himself with a human nature, and we too, when lifted up, become partakers of his divine nature. It becomes rather clear if you understand the scriptures a little bit, to try to bring this home to you somewhat. If you remember Jesus' prayer while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was taken to the cross, he said these words, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And then we learn in 2 Peter, it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you and I might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Jesus comes down, takes on our flesh, we are lifted up and become part of a divine nature. It's the great and marvelous story and the blessings and the promises of the season, both Lent, or first and second season or cycle of the Christian year. And so the Easter season is about what Jesus did to merit it for us. We discussed his words. Last week we talked about the vineyard. This week we talk about the sowing of the seed. It is in the work that he did that will preoccupy the readings, the studies, the divine liturgies for the next several weeks. Last Sunday's lesson finds the worker in the vineyard. The owner expects and hopes for a fruitful harvest. And in the theological terms, the harvest brings to maturity the ingredients of faith and hope and love. In the vineyard, or in the earth, if you will, all of God's creation, the seven deadly sins are sort of associated as the weeds, or the things that need cultivating in the vineyard, as well along the sides of the road. We learn of those things as pride and envy and gluttony and lust and anger and greed and sloth. They are cultivated out and burnt. Such things in the vineyard is left to their own will only cause the vineyard to ultimately fade away and burn under the hot sun. because these things will not tend towards the preaching of the gospel of Christ, but will hinder its development. Without love, faith, hope, it hinders the gospel message. It is in these things that we prepare our hearts and minds to extract from our lives and to master control over the things. And so the Lenten season offers the Christian the opportunity to do such a thing. After Jesus shared this parable about the idea that the kingdom of heaven is like a sower, the disciples come to him and they ask him what this parable meant. And Jesus answering to their question is surprising, wouldn't you think? Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but on others parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Why does he not want the masses of the people to understand the parable? Wouldn't any good teacher want them to know what he's talking about? What is it that stands in his way? First, you have to remember his audience. He's speaking to his apostles. To you, my brothers, my disciples, my apostles, have been given the mysteries of the kingdom, that they might not hear right now, but it will become your job after I am gone. If you remember what he said in John, I have finished my course. I have taught them what they need to know, to do. And now I need to turn it back over to you, my disciples. This work of cultivation, the planting and sowing, the word of God would be left for the work of the apostles, the disciples, and the church throughout history. Jesus' work is clearly defined. They might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He came to proclaim who the one God was and that he was the Messiah. I have finished my course. I have done what you've asked me to do. And then he goes on, and guess what he prays for? He prays for his disciples, that they may be one as we are one. The torch is now passed on to those who were chosen. And we learned last week that many are called, but few are chosen. The apostles were chosen. The Jews were a chosen people. Lucky them. Be singled out as a chosen people before God. But we who do the work are called. Maybe not as glorious as them. Not sure I would ever come close to being like an apostle. The Apostle Paul was chosen. Is a chosen vessel, as described in Acts chapter 9. If you remember his conversion on the road to Damascus, he was blinded on the road to Damascus, and as he was blinded, he was brought into Damascus, and the Lord spoke to Ananias. He says, Ananias, you need to go over and lay hands on this guy. And Ananias says, I can't do that. We've got bad stories about this man. He's not been good to our church. I'm afraid he's taken us to jail. He's whipped us, judged us. But the Lord said unto him, and hear his words, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And obviously, you heard those words read this morning. The Apostle Paul is committed to the work that he was given. He was committed to the work along the many highways and the villages and the cities, spreading the word of God. Some fell along the side of the road, some was choked, some fell on good soil, but he spread the word. And how did he do it? How did this man do this? Well, he tells us. I'll share it with you. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He was determined, committed, 100%. Confirmation asks you, will you follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's what the confirmation asks you. All of you who are here said, I promise that I will. Do you pull your body into subjection? Do you preach as though your neighbor understands the message so well, lest you be a castaway? The last thing I think the Apostle Paul really wanted was to be a castaway for not remaining faithful to what? His chosenness. Chosen. We preach hope that we might share in hope. We preach peace in Christ that we might share in the peace of Christ. We expound on the grace of God that we might share in the grace of God. We invite others to the table of salvation that others might also share the same cup of blessing that we share in the communion of the blood of Christ and the bread which we break and in the blood in which we drink. For in the preaching of this means grace, we are also partakers of such a healing of our souls that is unfathomable to completely understand the power that's given to us. But all of this is so that we might have the courage, the freedom, and the intention of heart to plant some seeds along the way of life. Some fell on the wayside, trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried and said unto them, hear them, let me hear. Do you hear what I'm saying? We who sit here today, think about the Sagizma, hoping for just 60-fold increase. I would get okay with 20-fold increase. We who sit here today thinking about this interesting concept, the entire population of the world changes, you know, about every 100 years. That's a lot of work for the church, having to keep bringing the good news and converting itself about every 100 years. Over the centuries, great centers of learning have been established. From the days of Alexandria, to Constantinople, to Rome, to Canterbury, to distant lands like America, where we set up Harvard and Yale, St. John's Seminary in Boston. And many more, some have fallen by the wayside, and they were trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. As soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked the moisture. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. All such learning is the cultivation of the Word of God. The seed spread about the nations for the hope of a nation and its people, all its men and its women, all coming to understand, the young and the old all participate in the good seed upon the land for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Regardless of whether it was devoured, withered, choked, some fruit remains. Some fruit remains. And I am most thankful for that. And so it is with the Word of God that we spread the earth, swaths of indiscrimination, ways without disregard to the abundance of the remains. There is no need to worry that you will run out of seed. The Word of God is abundant. But let us be ever mindful of ever running out of sowers, because without the sowers, what good is the seed? May God add you blessings on these words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.